Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome one and all to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Manchester United beat Man City, Liverpool beat West Ham, and I'm going to beat Jim and Luke in The Masked Singer.
Winger!
When the BBC invite us on to The Masked Singer.
Was it helpful you had about 10 seconds to think about that to rescue it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was really annoyed about that because it was a perfect intro apart from that.
Never mind.
Coming up later, The Masked Winger.
And shots fired by you. You're going to beat us. Mm-hmm. Jim's not in form. I've been terrible. It's fair enough.
Baby. But
you got to go out there and win.
It's probably the most likely, actually.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see, won't we?
We'll see.
Oh, how about those footballs? Ladies and gentlemen, the transfer window is still open. It will shut at some point in the near future, of course. I'm sure you all know when. But we've had the two League Cup semi-finals over with this week, done and dusted. Mm. And of course, Manchester City, they squeezed through against Manchester United. Squeezed through.
A weird affair.
It was a very weird affair.
Yeah.
Mm. There was some crowd trouble, which is obviously regrettable.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff happening outside Edward Woodward's house, very regrettable indeed.
Don't go to Edward Woodward's house. I mean, don't go there.
No.
Leave him alone. got kids. If you, even if he didn't have kids, still leave him alone.
Can we make the point as well that those people are football fans?
Yeah, exactly. Why do people always say that? Oh, they're not real fans. They are.
They are.
But they show, you know,
it'd be very strange, wouldn't it?
And also,
they've never heard of him before. How would that even, work?
Why have you got so many W's in your name?
Yeah.
Come on.
They just found a job lot of fireworks.
Yeah.
And thought, well, we've got to test them somewhere, haven't we?
That's talk about like, we can't have stuff like Amazon at 3 o'clock kickoffs and watch all the matches when we want to watch them because of the people in the stadium. People in the stadium are problematic.
Yeah, they are. Why are we prioritising them these days?
Fuck them.
Yeah.
They're not being racist. They're throwing chairs around doing aeroplanes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And on the pitch, you've got problematic, haven't you?
Yeah. who, by the way, it could be a symbol of, to use the words of Bunk Morner from The Wire, how far we fell.
Mm.
But Matic looks quite good now.
He does.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was as harsh as the pundits in the studio last night were making out. He's sending off. I thought it was kind of fair enough. But his goal was lovely.
Lovely
his
goal.
His goal was beautiful. Yeah, I'm surprised there's any sort of reaction like that towards the sending off because it seemed a really silly challenge to me. It seemed not an obvious.
And he had a few.
Yeah. He had a few.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said a funny thing where he said the first one, okay, if it's a booking, but then he could have got booked for the second foul and he didn't get booked for that foul. And then you have the one where he was given a yellow card. Mm. And, well, okay, I mean, I suppose it's a yellow card, but overall it's not a red card or something.
Sorry, I imagine the interview just went, sorry, Ollie, what are you talking about?
could you draw a diagram, please?
Yeah, did he then say that it shows how far United have come? That a referee wants to make makes a name for himself to send one of their players off now. Because that's probably what he was thinking.
Well, though, good win for Man United.
Yeah.
In the context of things.
Well, ultimately pointless.
Yeah.
It's pointless in terms of the result, but actually, going away to the Etihad, keeping a clean sheet, even though obviously Manchester City should have scored a few and they won the game, there's perhaps a little bit of confidence to be garnered from that.
I'm going to call it cold comfort.
Okay.
Mm. I'm going to, look,
but you still use the word comfort.
They've learned a lot of lessons. Don't put Fred on free kicks.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
But he's playing well as well. He's kind of settled into it. But he's, you're probably right. You're probably right there. The big atmosphere was to be had at Villa Park, wasn't it?
Ooh. Yeah. You're moving on, though. We're talking about Manchester United. Yeah.
The ding-dongs between City and United with Solskjaer and Guardiola at the helm have actually been quite interesting, haven't they? Probably more so than with Mourinho.
Is that not just so frustrating because you can raise your game against Manchester City, but then when you're playing like a Burnley, you're just like, oh, I can't be bothered.
I think a Burnley raised their game against the Man United, whereas Man United won't do that, but then they'll raise their game against bigger teams who they're actually not good enough to.
You're saying that Pep Guardiola's team lowered their game to disrespect Manchester United?
Yes.
Why not?
Right, yeah. Okay. Well, it was a sarcastic performance.
Indeed it was, but the good news for Manchester United, well, the near good news...
Was that they won at Burnley anyway? It doesn't matter.
Is that Bruno Fernandes...
Yeah.
It looks like he's going to sign for them. This is at the time of recording.
Yeah.
This transfer, it's a saga. This is your dictionary definition of transfer saga.
I found it strange that Man United seemed to officially announce it, but then say that...
Well, as you said that, Peter's just revealed that he's wearing a Nagoya Grampus 8 top.
Taking your fleece off?
I'm wearing a fleece in the studio, if anybody knows that? The hot box...
What a power flex that is to take that off halfway through
10,
the show.
That's Gary Lineker.
It is Gary Lineker. Sorry, Luke.
That's right, you were a perfectly... entitled to do that.
Incredible badge. If anyone doesn't know it, it's a killer whale doing keepy uppies with a sort of Adidas Tango classic football.
Mm.
Brilliant. Yeah.
I think it's more of a shark, isn't it?
No, it's a killer whale.
It's an orca. Mm.
It's an orca.
No, you're whales.
And they are sadly endangered.
Thanks to the Japanese.
You'd
imagine.
Yeah. Imagine they're involved.
Why are you promoting this, Pete? Yeah. What a dark undertone.
If we
refuse to eat fucking jellyfish, we should eat more whales, I say.
Stop that.
Who's eating jellyfish?
Nobody. That's the problem. Good. They're multiplying.
Well, they're mostly water anyway, aren't they?
Yeah. Like get them down, yeah. Get them down, yeah.
Where's this come from?
5% more. Fuck off into the sea. Horrible thing.
Speaking of endangered species, Man United are about to sign a good player.
Yeah. Yes.
But they announced it by saying that they still need to sort out personal terms, which to me, as we discovered earlier this week, it's still part of it, isn't it?
They probably have very different ideas about what Manchester United is.
Yeah. Mm. Well, sorry, Bruno, we've said you're going to sign now, so you might have to lower those wage demands.
Uh-huh. They've been in a standoff for a while, those two, because they know Manchester United desperately need the player and have a bit of money, and they know that Sporting... need the money. They're keen
but Mourinho was even sticking the boot in, wasn't he? So, he just for no reason saying, have Man United signed Bruno Fernandes yet? And the interviewer was like, No, but I mean, talk about Spurs. You're a manager of Spurs now.
You were wicked whispering that last week, saying that it might be indicative of a Spursy-shaped spanner.
Difference between me and you, Don, is I'll stick my neck on the line. Yeah.
What's happened here, though, is Man United have held hands with a girl and told everyone that they're their girlfriend.
It's a girlfriend at another school.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. This seems to be happening.
Probably will.
Yeah,
probably
almost will. Certainly will.
We can't predict the future.
But it's genuinely a coup, though, isn't it? Because we can all see that Man United are in a bit of difficulty, and he's a player that a lot of people want and is almost certain to improve them. So
it would be
fair play to Ed Woodward.
Be a phenomenal signing if they get him. But they were still knocked out of the cup by Manchester City.
Indeed.
Who love a little trip to Wembley, don't they?
I thought that was a good result for them, Marcus.
Yeah.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, if you'd have said before the tie, you'll win 1-0 away to Manchester City, they'd have bit your hand off for that.
No, they wouldn't have.
I mean, like, if it's
a go out of the tie.
No, the tie. No, the tie's the... No, the
if
tie
my
is
house
the...
burned down, but I find a packet of peanuts in the garden. Is that a good result?
Double roasted.
You're being dicks. And I'll tell you why.
It's almost like we're doing it on purpose.
Because the tie is both legs, isn't it?
Yes.
So before the tie, Jim, you would have offered them 1-0 away to Manchester City, they'd have bitten your hand.
So
off.
If we ask them after the tie, do you think they'll still be happy with going out?
It's more fucking tie fighting the Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think the fact that Manchester City were the better side over the two legs by far, even that game, I think when all's considered, it was a consolation.
Yeah. Don't lose 3-1 in the first half.
Don't lose 3-1 in the
first
half. But
there's also the thorny issue, at the risk of doing far too much time on this, there is also the thorny issue, Marcus, of how teams then approach the second leg.
Yep.
Based on what's happened in the first.
Yes.
So if Manchester City and Man United, say, drew 1-0 in the first leg, we'd have seen a different game last night. You'd have thought. And that's not to take anything away from Man United. It's just to say that City's approach would have had to have been different.
Yeah.
And I believe that City are a far better team and they would have been okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, anyway.
Yeah. But Manchester City, of course, away to Tottenham Hotspur. It's Jose versus Pep, yesterday's battle.
Yeah, why are you even talking about this?
Well, because they're playing each other this weekend, Jim.
Yeah, this is the translator versus the bald fraud. Could it be more irrelevant? Who cares?
Which one's which?
Yeah,
let's
it might
find
as well
out.
Be Peter Reid against David O'Leary. Who cares?
These last 3.5 minutes, you've been very unhelpful.
At least that's not to say you're generally helpful.
No.
You're generally neutral.
Sunk to new depth.
Yeah.
Christian Eriksen has finally left Spurs.
Yeah. Yes. To his surprising dream move to Inter.
You
see that weird kind of dream video they did in like an opera?
That was very strange.
Very odd.
Inter they really go in for the transfer unveiling on Twitter, don't they?
Have you seen this one, Mark?
Brassel was raving about it. I didn't like it. I thought it was over the top.
For anyone that's not seen it, it's almost like kind of faux David Lynch style, like just rumination on the nature of dreams with Christian Eriksen.
Is it referenced
in an opera house?
La Scala, like in Milan, yeah. And keen Christian Eriksen watchers will be delighted that his first touch for Inter was a free kick from a wide position, hit the first man.
Mm. Nice. Love it.
That's
really
what you've bought.
He's brought in a lot of now former Premier League players, which are Eriksen, Lukaku, Victor Moses. Lovely to see Victor Moses go there. Yeah. Sanchez, of course. Yeah. Ashley Young.
He's after Giroud as well.
He's after Giroud. I'm sure there's another one in there I've missed. Mm. Ashley Young, of course, assist in his first...
lovely ball as well.
So, yes, Eriksen joins the Premier League revolution at Inter, who are near the top of the league, so he could finally get his hands on a trophy.
It's a tough one, though, that, isn't it? Like, from Eriksen's point of view, because obviously, at this stage of his career, he's going to want to go and win trophies. But that Juventus juggernaut,
Conte's Inter, you've got to say that they
are. Well, obviously, they're in the conversation, but
you're right. It's not a done deal. It's
no,
not like because he was
it's not
saying
like he's
that
going to one of the Spanish clubs
a year or so ago. Eriksen was saying it's like it's Real Madrid or nothing.
Exactly,
and now he's kind of been like,
well, it turned out he didn't want nothing.
Yeah, they went
so
for
it
nothing.
Kind of like
it's nothing option, didn't they?
Yeah,
so,
he went okay, and then Inter came along. So, to be fair, Inter under Conte at the moment, they're going very well.
He needed a fresh start. He's a good player. We're probably being a bit unfair. You're not. I am. It's something that he needed. He to be fair to him, he did come out on social media and say that he's happy for his time there and sorry about whatever. And all the other players around him at Spurs seem to wish him well. So, good luck to him.
Yeah. Lovely. And again, to be fair to Christian Eriksen, it's not just him that can't beat the first man from a free kick or a corner. It appears to be every professional footballer currently playing the game.
Yeah. And probably a lot of non-professional ones as well.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Yeah, I couldn't either.
It is quite tricky.
Yeah.
Especially if the first man's very tall.
Yeah.
Spurs, they're still looking at striking options, but of course at this stage in the window and so on. Yeah.
Well, they've added Bergwijn, who can play for in the middle.
That's true.
Yeah. Interestingly, UB40 chant. of Steve Bergwijn.
Nice.
What did you nice.
Yeah? What did you make of the paper talk that Gareth Bale might return?
Well, I like it, and I'm all for it. And there was a big rumour yesterday that, well, the night before, so Wednesday night, that there was a big name hanging around Hotspur Way, but no one said who it was. But then Jonathan Barnett, who is Gareth Bale's agent, was interviewed at some event. Do you know what? It might have been Davos. Not when the Davos World Economic Forum.
That sounds about right.
And if it wasn't Davos,
that level of money.
Yeah, if it wasn't Davos, it was somewhere else, some UEFA thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he said to the interviewer, who kind of flash interviewed him, no, I'll answer that question by telling you one thing. I'm an Arsenal fan. Thank you very much. And so intimated that he wouldn't allow it.
Oh.
Make of that what you will.
Right.
Does that mean
Bale's coming to Arsenal?
Probably not.
Is he going to find out at some point that he used to play for Spurs and be really annoyed?
Yeah. God, what was he doing that time? Yeah.
You.
If I'd have known that.
Harpy.
Yeah.
How dare you. What about Danny Rose, Peter?
Yeah.
He looks like he's going to Newcastle United.
Going down Stephen Carr Boulevard.
In January, you're probably going to hear something. I'm telling you right now that I'm not going anywhere until my contract is finished. Daniel Levy told me in the summer there was no new contract for me at Tottenham, which is fine. I respect that. We move on. My contract is up in 18 months' time and I'll leave the football club then. People in the media can save their time trying to get stuff ready for January about me being sold, because I can tell you now, it ain't happening.
Well, he wasn't. He's gone on loan, so it's fine.
It's option to buy, isn't it?
I assume you were quoting Danny Rose.
I was quoting Danny Rose there, yeah.
There's no option to buy.
Is there not?
No.
I'd retract his quote.
I thought there was presumably an option to buy, but bent gone.
Sorry, there's no.
Mike Ash has not been on the blow to you, going, listen, Lukey.
No.
That's the deal.
No,
that's the deal.
You've got the wrong number again. they don't have to buy him at the end.
Option to buy, yeah.
Good move for all involved, though.
Yeah. He needs a fresh start. I think Newcastle United had a no arsehole, and then they signed Bentaleb. So I think needs must, as the devil drives, etc.
A bit harsh on Danny Rose, isn't it?
I'm not calling him. Yeah, needs must. I think he's a good player, and I think he
does do well there. Wouldn't it be a good signing?
I think it's a brilliant signing for
him. He needs a fresh start, and he's closer to where he needs to be in the country. So.
It's kind of confusing because you think Mike Ashley's spinning all this yarn about a takeover because the transfer window's open, and it means people will stop talking about signings. But then he's signing players anyway.
On loan.
On loan. That's the only win.
He'll get to the summer and be like, can we, he's played well, can we have him? Well, it will cost you.
Could we swap a fit Joe Linton for an injured Harry Kane, and Harry Kane can teach everyone how to
play
be a striker.
Yeah.
Joe Linton needs most of the training, so he can stay.
Yeah.
Can we just have all the Spurs as players?
But I can't show you because I've got a busted hamstring.
Yeah.
I can just tell you on a whiteboard how I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The loan market is becoming interesting, isn't it? In that there are fees involved now.
It's all changing next year, isn't it? There's going to be restrictions to players going overseas, isn't it, in the loan market, which is basically going to stop teams like Chelsea and Manchester City.
Are you describing Brexit?
having this kind of cottage industry where they make a lot of money over these loan sales. It's interesting.
Roman charges.
Hey! Roman and Bravage charges. Perfect. Is that what you were trying to do?
No, it wasn't.
Adding more levels to the pie.
You do them even when you don't mean to. That's how good you are.
Yep.
All right. Indeed. Now let's move on then to Aston Villa. They knocked Leicester City out of the League Cup. They've reached another final in the competition.
Absolutely brilliant.
Villa Park was rocking and a-rolling.
It was amazing.
It was.
I agree with what...
Good to see the old ground like that.
What Henry Winter said. This is the biggest advert for taking the FA Cup semis back away from Wembley.
Oh, God,
it was pumping.
It's just
pumping.
Villa Park is brilliant for that, isn't it? And Jack Grealish, I mean, you know, this is not exactly a niche opinion, but
I don't think we've ever started like a conversation about Aston Villa without starting with the first player we mentioned is always Jack Grealish.
I was going to say Pepe Reina was on the bench.
Well, I was going to say maybe I'm getting too carried away here, and I've been got, you know, my Villa friends have got me carried away. Does Jack Grealish have a little bit of Gazza about him, where he's always driving forward and always trying to do something creative? So there's a constant spark with him.
I think that's... I understand that for those who remember Gazza, of course, because Grealish does have that. He's got a little bit of the chaos factor about him, but he's so entertaining. For me, he's been one of the players of the season in general in the league, although this was the League Cup. And he just whenever he gets the ball, there's excitement. And as you say, he drives forward, he creates, but he's got so much energy as well. And if... you know, that I think at Aston Villa, he's got a little bit more of a blank canvas, of course, because he does drive the team forward as well. If he was to leave, I know Villa fans won't thank me, but there's talk that he may move to another bigger club in the future. You know?
Will he be if they get relegated?
Certainly. Yeah. You know, will he be able to sort of be disciplined in a different role on another side? But he's just so entertaining. The hair, the legs, the skill.
The shin pad.
And the product. The goals. The assists.
I know it's a different... I know there's a conversation more about how the respective teams play and like to play. But I mean, England played Kosovo last time out, beating 4-0.
Mention for England.
Well, no, it's just that they played Hudson-Odoi off the left. And well, it's like, I don't see how, I know they're different players, and perhaps yeah. Southgate wants something a little bit different in that position. But in that position where Jack Grealish is playing for Aston Villa, there's no argument to say he should be playing ahead of Grealish. There's no argument.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've thought about this because what Southgate likes to have, well, he obviously likes to have Kane up top. And Kane tends to sort of drop
he
a little
will
bit.
Not be having Kane.
Well, and that is an interesting point though, because Kane likes to drop that little bit deeper, and then you have the two wide boys, usually Rashford and Sterling or Sancho, if he plays, to bomb on and kind of come in a bit.
I love the idea of them as wide boys.
Yeah, they are wide boys.
I was merely talking about the position on the pitch, of course.
Not even suggesting Grealish should necessarily start, because obviously those players are probably ahead of him. Rashford's got an injury problem. Kane's got an injury problem, and if you are going to have to deputise players and bring them in, I don't see how there's a good argument to say there's that many players ahead of Grealish. Other than the fact that he's untested, which isn't
his fault. If he played for any other team in the top six, you would say that he would be getting
And it seems to go against Southgate's sort of stated
meritocracy aim
of meritocracy. Absolutely.
Well, if he feels that he doesn't fit into the system,
yeah, that's fair.
That's the problem.
But then you have him on the bench, though. You have him in the squad.
I would definitely take him to the Euros, because...
It's just down the road, isn't it?
It's just down the road. And also, will HS2 be done by
Will they be using a plane? Will they be using a plane? I think they might have to play in Dublin at one point.
Right. Well, it'd be in the second round of the quarterfinals, if England get there, let's not be silly, then they will have to hop on a plane at some point, I believe. What were we saying? Jack Grealish.
Jack Grealish.
We've been talking about Grealish for a long time. It's obviously not just about him. Villa, it was a very good performance from them generally, wasn't it?
And Nyland was great in goal. He was excellent.
What a save that was. It's from Madison, perhaps?
He made some...
Oh, Madison had a bit of a boo-hoo, didn't he?
Madison on social media. See this on Twitter. Fair play to Aston Villa for getting to the final, not making any excuses.
Here's an excuse.
But how a Premier League referee watching this from multiple angles several times comes to the conclusion that this isn't a penalty baffles me. And he's talking about the handball, of course. I have to say, I agree with him.
I do,
of course.
Very few footballers have the capacity to infringe League Cup IP by posting videos like that. Going, look at this. Let's look at the facts, guys.
Yeah. The thing is, from the point of view of a player, if you're frustrated, because I remember before VAR was introduced, and we would speak, you'd speak to, you'd interview a player or whatever, and I remember Jamie Carragher saying it. I don't care what you want to talk about in the pub. I don't care what the fans think on this issue. I'm a player. If I work really hard my whole career, I want the decisions to be right, because it's only fair, right? That was the big driving factor from what players were saying. And then if you're a player and you watch that, or you play a part in that particular incident, and you think, how is this even still happening?
Yeah.
Because we're told what the laws are. The referees come round and they tell us before each season. And then we have education on VAR. People in the media have education on VAR, and obviously the referees. How is it still happening? Like, not even just this particular incident. How are these big incidents still happening? What's happening is just a shift in the conversation from the referee got that wrong to VAR got that wrong.
Yeah.
So there's a load of fuss about nothing, basically. It's just moving the argument somewhere else.
Just
it's the same argument.
Adding a few more humans into the mix.
I'm taking longer about
just
it.
Just taking longer about it.
But do you know, it's almost as if people are saying the handballs are ridiculous. You're giving them for this, that, and the other. And then they just go, well, the game seems to be flowing. All right, we won't give that one. No, that's not what we...
Yeah.
That's a clear one, for crying out loud. Yeah. But wonderful for Villa, and so people suggesting that this could galvanise the squad and help them. Dean Smith, the manager, said it could help them in their fight against relegation.
Well, you could certainly see them winning this match against Bolton for the weekend, but they apparently they're looking at Islam Slimani.
Is that right?
A player who came out for the Africa Cup of Nations however many seasons for Leicester after like a ridiculous amount of money coming in from it was Portugal, wasn't it? And then he obviously went on loan to Newcastle. He's been knocking them in for Monaco, I think, and he's having an all right time there. But he's 31 now. He needs to kick on and start putting some performances in. I think Villa would be an excellent club for him.
You reckon?
I really do.
Yeah, Wesley's not scored too bad. I know he's had his injury problems and so on. So there is a gap in the market for a striker at Aston Villa. You could
say. A word of warning to Villa, though. Teams in the past have looked forward to a cup final against Man City and been absolutely spanked, yeah. And it's ruined their season.
Yeah. And the season after.
Yeah.
Until Nigel Pearson.
Yeah,
turns
exactly.
Up.
So it can happen.
Yeah, mind how you go there. Bournemouth, of course, lost at home to Arsenal in the cup last Monday, and they won their previous match against Brighton. And they're currently on 23 points. It's down the bottom, of course, Villa on 25 points, which is an important one.
Yeah, it's a huge one, isn't it? I don't know. I feel like Villa have the momentum with this one.
Arsenal's reward, Jim, for beating Bournemouth in the cup?
Go on, Jim.
Going to the next round against the old Pomples.
Fratton Park.
That's what we wanted.
Yeah. What's the picture looking like?
Oh, mate.
Sorry, I'm a bit Italian there. What's the picture looking like?
Picture's great. Cool. Picture Fratton Park's always decent. It's looking great. And I said before the draw to my wife, who wasn't interested, I'll take anyone at home. I was hoping it wouldn't be Arsenal, I'll be honest. But I fancy it.
Portsmouth wins.
I fancy
it's
it big time.
It's lose-lose for me.
Do you fancy
really?
It?
Really? Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Nostradamus.
I said, if we need Portsmouth at home, and that was the important thing, and to avoid one of the big boys, and they have.
That'll be on the telly, won't it?
Jim, you look quite cheerful over there. Have you any idea what you're dealing with here?
Yes, Luke, I really do.
Any idea what's going on? Was it seven games in a row?
Something like that.
Haven't lost at home in the league this season?
Jimmy boy.
Yeah. I think the problem is I know what you're dealing with, and that's what worries me more.
Oh, dearie me, yes. But the South Coast, worrying times for Bournemouth. They need points, of course. And that win against Brighton, they were very thankful for their goalkeeper, of course. I think after that League Cup win, the semi-final win, you would think Villa would be
It's confusing to me because within these four walls, I've kind of been led to believe over the last few years that they're the biggest team on the South Coast. So I don't know why you're fearful of them. They should be fine.
No, Southampton are the biggest team on the South Coast. And we talk about them in the second half.
Oh, good. I look forward to that then.
We've piled in the South Coast Premier League sides.
Oh, they bottled Southampton bottled the draw, didn't they?
Portsmouth have got a mention.
Didn't get Portsmouth in the draw, did they? Bottled it. Didn't fancy it.
The bomb ball. They got the bomb ball. All right, let's have some emails with PDD. You email show at footballrambledaily.com.
And now Peter's reading it out. Well done. We got an email from Chris Harris, Luke's game, which obviously you're going to be hearing next week. So I'm aware, boys, I noticed that you still don't have a name for Luke's game. Have you considered Jermaine's Journeyman?
Jermaine's Journeyman, yeah.
Can only be a maritime. Chris in Auckland, thank you for that.
You've glossed over that. You actually erroneously stated on Monday that you weren't going to be here this week. So this is going to be a surprise.
No, you said
listening.
That. I said that I would be... It literally doesn't matter.
You experience time differently from most.
Exactly. Like James Harley. I am constantly nude and I have a bluish hue.
Let's call him Mr. Manhattan because that'll get him in trouble.
I've been struck off. Yeah. James Harley, the Don't F With Cats. I don't know why. Don't Fuck With Cats. Stephen, but is it Bergwin?
Bergwijn.
Yeah, Bergwijn. Hello, Ramblers. Obviously, I too dislike ITK Twitter accounts and football Twitter in general. But earlier this week, I came across a Twitter thread which shows they've been clearly watching Netflix's Don't Fuck With Cats and have picked up some techniques which may make them more reliable. I started with Stephen's Instagram stories. Over the weekend, he was posting Instagram stories from a hotel room and someone spotted a British plug socket.
Oh! That's clue number one.
He later posted a story from his bed, which featured a very distinctive headboard. Oh la la. Some poor, presumably unemployed sod, then trawled through booking.com and added to the thread a few hours later that he'd found the hotel with those headboards and the rest of the suite matched as well. The hotel was situated very close to Spurs' training ground, and as we know, he signed for them.
Arrest that man.
Yeah. Worth adding that he was also spotted at the airport and was heavily linked to Spurs so much. Like the Netflix show, the internet sleuths didn't really contribute all that much, but it'll be interesting to see how these techniques are used in the future transfer windows. Love the show. Cheers, James. I am bang up for a bit of that, Caper.
So there's loads of people on Twitter who around the transfer window, and it will happen today because obviously that's the transfer window closes today.
Yeah.
Tracking flight numbers and stuff.
Oh, I hate the flight tracking thing.
They've been doing that with
obsessed with it.
The Newcastle takeover as well.
Yeah. Really? Mm. What, seeing if there's any flights coming in from Saudi Arabia and that?
Also, I would dispute that the internet sleuths didn't do that much on Don't Fuck With
I haven't seen it. Please don't spoil it.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, I will.
Learn nothing about it and watch it.
They started poorly, then got better, I think, at it.
I heard all the cats die.
A bit like the Ramble.
Well done. come on, come on. I want to be like a 90s hype man. Come on, come on.
Wow. To yourself.
Yeah.
To your own sort of 80s balladeer.
Collection of Bob Marley.
Is that Pato Banta?
That is Pato Banta.
Pato Banta.
You'll find him.
Let's do more of that. Pato in the Banta. Break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the previous show for Bramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Now, gentlemen, are we ready to talk more about football?
If we have to,
we must. Right. Yeah. Liverpool, of course, the conquerors of West Ham United. They play Southampton at home on the weekend. They beat West Ham 2-0 away this week. Good result for Moyes and the boys. They're not in the relegation zone. Mm. That was the objective. Yeah.
They had to lose by 4 for that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something, isn't it?
They had a few shots on target. They worked Alisson.
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah.
Mark Noble piping up about being annoyed that they still need him at West Ham.
I am knackered.
Yeah. Let me die.
He said something like, I'm 33 this year and I'm playing 3 games a week.
Yeah. Right? Well, yeah. I mean,
not ideal, is it?
They are being linked to Salomon Kalou, who might ease the burden, and also 33 years old. Yeah. So I'm sure that's nonsense, but it's funny.
It would be a very West Ham signing, wouldn't it?
It would.
Wow.
Yeah, Liverpool. They're 19 points clear at the top of the league. Mm. We are in January, and they have 70 points, which is an absolute piss
take. That's insane.
It's an embarrassment. That's what it is. It's an embarrassment.
It is. In 2011, Manchester United won the league with 80 points. Now, I know there have been fewer points that have won the league for teams.
The record
Leicester
is 100.
Well,
record,
sorry? Leicester were 80 as well, weren't
81.
They?
81.
But they're so good. Jurgen Klopp has now, on more than one occasion this season, said, I'm not going to be managing the team for this game.
I'm not doing it.
I know it's in the cup, but I've never heard a manager say that before.
Liverpool fans are now singing, we're going to win the league. Yeah. It's in January. And they're dead right.
Yeah, they are.
This is how early could they do it?
Is anyone else annoyed that they didn't beat Man United?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Jim, that the statistic is that they have beaten every single opponent they've faced in the league this season at least once. Yeah. So, I mean, if that's... will Solskjaer be touting that fact around
Can we take a moment, a very, very small moment, just to imagine what it would be like if they weren't to win the league this season?
But this is the thing, Luke. With Liverpool, when you have a team who have gone such a good run, and they're clearly going to win the league, that's painfully obvious and has been for a long time now, going into it, there's no kind of, oh, come on, make sure we win because, you know, we want to be unbeaten. No, no, he has got them in such a mindset where it's, well, yeah, we will. Like, it's okay. That kind of, even that little bit of nervousness of, oh, I hope we don't mess up the rest.
Yeah.
I think...
It's quite...
I'd be amazed if anyone...
He's sort of like, with a straight... What mental gymnastics you have to go through to say with a straight face, 19 points ahead.
I know.
Going, well, you know, nothing's...
it's like Ranieri in his 40 points, isn't it? Remember, every week Ranieri, just trying to get the 40 points. You're on 72 points. You're just trying to get the 40 points.
Yeah, but mental gymnastics is exactly the right term, Pete. You see people trying to sort of discredit them in advance, saying that it's VAR... is in their favour. Yeah. Everyone else is rubbish. And I think the VAR thing, they've got a lot of decisions go their way. They've mostly been correct. And obviously they are taxed so much that they're going to have more of those incidents.
And also, they're not mutually exclusive, that second point. I mean, we said on the show last week that every team apart from Liverpool is capable of being absolutely shit.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of dross in the division. That is true. Mm. But there's a perfectly good measure of how to find out how good Liverpool are, and that's how many points they get. Mm. If they get 110 points, then they're going to be the best Premier League team ever across one season. Mm. Because and so both those things can be the case. They can only beat what's put in front of them. I think you could probably make the opposite argument. If Man City were almost as good as them, if it was the Man City of 100 points, you might even say that would push Liverpool even harder. that and inspire them to do even more. So I don't think there's anything to suggest that Liverpool are a team who can't handle the pressure because they're generating their own pressure at the moment anyway.
They've won 23 out of 24 Premier League games.
Exactly.
Yeah. For anybody who is, who
I'd
says,
take
oh,
that
VAR.
Over five seasons.
But anybody's, VAR, they've won 23 out of 24. Piss off.
Exactly.
There's no argument here.
There is a big but.
There is a big but.
And I'm going to bring
you
it to
lie.
You. Yeah. They go to St James's Park on the final day. Looking to be undefeated the whole season.
Exactly. Which might already have been sold by then.
Andy Carroll with his debut goal in the season.
Do you repeat then? They might have already won it by then. They would have won it by then. That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is you could upset the apple cart and be the only team to beat them.
Spurs. That 5-0.
What about this weekend? Southampton. Tricky customers at the moment. Mm? Hasenhüttl knows how to rouse.
Something poetic about them playing each other in the transfer window, isn't there?
There is.
Or actually, it'll be
closed. Yeah, it's closed.
I think if any team is to get a point off Liverpool in the next sort of month or two, it could be Southampton.
In the next few days.
Yeah.
I think you got rocks in your head. I'll put this
Have
in the
you
most.
Turn to drink.
Two on Southampton.
I'll put this in the most diplomatic way possible. Liverpool will have nothing to fear.
No.
Well, to come to Anfield.
I think Hasenhüttl's hunks could do the
Hasenhüttl hunks.
Is Klopp doing this one?
They could do the unthinkable.
Is he popping in, Klopp? Yeah.
Does he need to, really?
Hello, I'm working from home today, but it's fine. Just popping a shot to pick up a paper.
It's in the calendar.
Was the game still going on? Sorry.
Yeah.
My goodness. Southampton, of course, have signed.
Who'd you go with up front? Did you?
Yeah.
Good choice.
That's what I've done.
10 minutes in going, lads, some Christmas going on in the office.
Yeah. Southampton, of course, have signed Kyle Walker-Peters on loan for the rest of the season.
Another good move.
Another good move.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah, you see.
Because I'm freestyling here, you guys, but isn't there a fullback going from...
My name's Luka Podrick and I'm here to say...
Yeah, you planned the previous stuff.
Luka Podrick?
I just came up with an amazing pod name for
Luke.
I like
it, yeah. Well, isn't it because Arsenal have picked up Cedric?
It's looking...
possible that
will happen on a loan with a fee, as is the style at the time.
Arsenal have been unlucky with fullbacks.
Yes, and also he can play left back and right back, which is very, very useful for Arsenal at the moment, because Ainsley Maitland-Niles has done pretty well as a deputy for Hector Bellerin, but that's not his position. So, more on that as they sort it out. It's got nothing to do with us.
It's part of the conveyor belt, isn't it? So, Kyle Walker-Peters, he needs to play Kyle Walker-Peters.
He does.
And he goes and gets a bit of games, gets a confidence booster at Anfield in his first game. And then see how he gets on.
Don't know.
Genuinely don't care.
Could be up against Sadio Mane.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in though, Luke.
Well, he's played some big games at Spurs. I think he played away to Bayern, did he?
He has played, he has featured.
There you go. See, Crystal Palace are at home to Sheffield United. Only Liverpool have conceded fewer goals than Sheffield United this season.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
Remarkable that. Yeah. Palace have the fifth best defensive record this season in the Prem. Again, very good stuff from Crystal
Palace.
You're
going for goose eggs on this one.
But it's only half the story. because only Watford have scored fewer goals than Palace in the league this season, and Sheffield United are the sixth lowest scorers in the league. So, yes, 0-0.
Well, they've got... I just
untitled
like
goose game.
like McGoldrick up top for Sheffield United. I think he's coming. He'll probably play in this match or certainly come back. He's a massive fan favourite.
Yeah,
he's had 35 shots. He's a striker. He's not scored any of them.
I know.
He's beloved by because he works so hard. He's so skillful. But he just can't put the ball in the net.
It's a shame.
And the patience will start to run out at some point. But at the moment, he's loving life.
I don't think the patience... I understand the point you're saying, but...
You can't have dead weight in that position, though, can you?
But how the team is performing, and I think that is actually to the credit of Sheffield United, the supporters will, I think, look at them as a unit, if you see what I mean. You're right about McGoldrick, because he hasn't scored.
I like him a lot.
His work rate and what he does and where he sort of drifts out wide and overloads those flanks and so on, he is vital. I know that ultimately he will be disappointed he's not scoring goals and so on. Well, maybe
I think it's always nice, isn't it, when you see a player who's plied his trade, I think almost the entirety of his trade in the Football League. He's played in League Two. He's at Southampton briefly when they're in the Premier League, but I don't think he played for them. And now he's at 32, he's actually getting a chance to play in the Premier League. It's great to see, right? He's clearly not a Premier League goal scorer, certainly not at this stage of his career. I don't know if he will come out. He's still listed as doubtful, isn't he? So he might come back in. But that's kind of what you need at that level of the Premier League. You need someone who's going to... I mean, it's almost like a Shane Long type character. Doesn't score many goals, but you're not going to get a moment's peace. And does that open up spaces for other players to score? Probably does.
But that's what McGoldrick does. He drags them all.
Exactly.
There
and also, he looks almost identical to the rapper from alternative hip-hop group Death Grips, which is a huge bonus.
Yeah, right, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, it might.
But Sheffield United, as the stats say there, they're about defence.
Yeah.
That's what they've built their season on, and rightly so, because they don't have many goal scorers in there. I mean, Billy Sharp scored on the opening day, didn't he? And hasn't scored since. He should have scored against Millwall, and he was really pissed off with himself, rightly so. So they've not got a lot in there in terms of forward play, but they don't seem to need to, because they've won once in their last six matches, and they're still 1 point off the Europa League position.
It's amazing, isn't it? And I would say, actually, going back to what you're saying about McGoldrick, Pete, that... unless they have a spectacular drop-off now, I don't think this patience is going to wear thin with any of these players.
No.
They're performing so above and beyond what you might reasonably expect that I think this season is, they're all golden.
Cruz is quite interesting. Obviously, they're now in the second half of the season, and what tends to happen is due to smaller kind of squads of players who can play and perform at that level, you do see a drop-off. But the other reason you see a drop-off in promoted teams is because other teams work them out.
Yeah.
And if you look at the five games that Sheffield United have played since we turned into the second half of the season, they've actually been quite poor. I think they've only won one of them. So it'll be interesting to see if that's a thread that continues.
Yeah.
And teams go, do you know what? That was an interesting thing we saw them playing again. We saw when we played against them. And we studied them on the video. But now we actually know what it's like to play again, whether they get figured out a lot, and whether they drop like a stone, or whether they stick around. But what you're alluding to there, Marcus, I think is absolutely correct, is that the other teams around them are so inconsistent that it might not make a damn bit of difference anyway.
Well, and this is it. And that was the point about saying they've won one in the last six. Sheffield United, they're 1 point off that Europa League position.
Yeah.
I mean, Crystal Palace. And we're deep into January, nearly February. Crystal Palace have won once in their last nine league games.
Yeah.
And they're 4 points off that Europa League position.
Yeah.
Nobody fancies it.
No.
Nobody.
But Sheffield United are only 3 points off 14th, though. So it could go either way.
It could go either way.
Yeah. But then, having said that, if you said to a Sheffield United fan at the start of the season you can finish 14th, you wouldn't even finish the question before they agree to it.
Indeed. Before we move on to four to score, did I read correctly that Everton turned down £85 million for Richarlison?
Yeah, 100 million euros, which sounds better, doesn't it?
It does. I know he's a good player.
So
That's an awful lot of money.
It is an awful lot of money, but is he 22?
Yeah.
He's got 24 goals in 60 appearances for Everton, and I believe... What I read was that they think he'd compliment Luis Suarez, who is injured.
No, he's to replace him.
I actually read the same thing, Jim.
I think that's wrong. Suarez is out for 4 months.
But perhaps the wording was...
That's a poorly reported article, surely. Mm. I mean, I'm not an expert on it, but I'm fairly certain it's a replacement for Suarez. Also, one thing that's got to factor in, which makes the whole thing boring. The headline's fun, but then you drill down to it and it becomes less fun.
Oh, add-ons and all that.
No, it's that he signed a new contract last month for 5 years on big money. Mm. So I guess they probably thought to even get him, we're going to have to do this in a big way. And then, but the for me, the fun is in Everton turning it down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shove it up your bollocks.
That's great. We've got Carlo Ancelotti now.
Yeah.
You're not pushing David on with around.
Yeah, I like it.
Which is also physically very hard to do.
Yeah. I thought so.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so Richarlison Derby.
Are they going to come back with 120 euros?
Yes. Oh, have they learned from Philippe Coutinho?
I was about to say, it works so well with Philippe Coutinho. Yeah.
My goodness. All right, Luke, it's time for Betway's Four to Score.
It is. Each week, we'll be participating in Four to Score for a chance to win a huge prize for charity. Four to Score entry is free. Just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round. And if you're correct, you can win up to £75,000 this week with Betway's Four to Score. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. We pick one each, and if we get it all right, we will win £75,000, or at least a share of it, which we will generously and probably out of our cold, hard fingers donate to charity. Mm. So, Jim, your game this week is West Ham v Brighton.
Yes, there is a whiff of goose egg about this with the form that both teams are in at the moment, but I have gone for Neil Mopay to open the scoring. Thought it'd be positive.
Mm. Great, good for you. Peter, you've got Man United v Wolves.
I've gone for the lesser spotted Victor Lindelof.
Because you hate charity.
No. I've got nothing to say. Marcus come is on. Stunned into silence.
Come on.
What are you what talking
have
about?
Have I got
you
one right on. This season?
No.
Well, this could be my chance.
But you're not going to get
well, one. Obviously, it's a chance.
So you're purposely doing players who are even less likely to score.
I cannot wait until Victor Lindelof heads one in.
You know Raul Jimenez is going to score.
Yeah, exactly. You know
exactly. I'm scared. I'm running scared, guys.
Yeah. The Football Ramble Daily Betway Force to Score rule is you have to pick Raul Jimenez if you get a Wolves game.
Yeah. It's not happening.
All right.
I'm breaking from the crowd. The
okay,
pack.
Listen, it's your choice to make.
Yeah,
Burnley v Arsenal was my game. I've gone from Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, obvious reasons. Marcus, you've got the big one. You've got Spurs v Man City.
Yeah, Sergio Aguero. He missed a lot of chances. Or he missed a few chances against Manchester United, and he will take revenge or vengeance, whichever word is more appropriate, against Tottenham Hotspur.
I always find it annoying to get a Guardiola game because you never really know the team is going to pick. Mm. Sometimes he'll just drop Sterling or he'll play Jesus or whatever. But but anyway, great. So that is our four selections for Betway's Four to Score are Neil Maupay, Victor Lindelof, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and Sergio Aguero. It's free to play. You can go and play over at Betway 4 to Score. Current prize is now £75,000. And of course, it will roll over if no one wins it. But do bet the responsible way.
Indeed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's the real reason why we all turned up today. It's time for the Masked Winger.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out.
Get your box out.
Woo!
It's got some old tape in it.
Who's under there?
Who put that tape in there?
Under the mask. Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Mask Winger.
A little bit of a pan in the vocal there, I noticed, in my headphones.
Yeah.
Well done, mate.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I've created a little jingle for your thingy next week, so...
Oh, yeah, you told me I'm not allowed to listen to it until I actually play it in the studio.
Yeah. How the hell are you going to find it on the iPad?
You play it now. It's up to you.
It's very simple.
Yeah, I won't be able to find it.
No, wait for it next week.
We'll wait for it. It'll be a nice surprise, It's obviously going to be mugging me off, so we'll have all enjoy
that. It's
not
mugging you off at all. It's just, a little bit of audio from one of my favourite websites. Right.
Oh, good.
Right, Mask Winger. Simon the Mass Winger, thank you very much to Jack Catchpole.
Can I just say,
catching my attention.
It is amazing in microcosm, sums Pete up perfectly, that Pete is the one more than anyone else who will complain about the sound quality of the show every week, right? Mm. It's kind of thing. And then he'll happily spend 5 minutes speaking through a box from IKEA into his mic.
Which is unnecessary because Pete is not the Masked Winger.
No, exactly. He doesn't even need to reshield who he is.
Yeah, we know who he is. Are you resting your jumper on your crotch?
Don't ask those questions, mate. Jim.
Stop, is it Hatto Ben Arfa?
Oh, dear.
All right, here we go.
Right.
Stop, is it David Ginola?
Yeah. Stop, is it Peter Beardsley?
That's why I'm excited. I was born on the 29th of March, 1973. And grew up on our family farm with my parents.
Stop.
Go on, Mozzie, you've got it.
Mauricio Pochettino.
No, it's not.
I was just saying that.
Wasn't
shit.
A winger, wasn't
Stop.
A winger.
No, it's Brian Kilcline.
It's not Brian Kilcline.
Pochettino did grow up on the farm, though.
Yeah.
Did he? Yeah.
He assisted his grandfather with the potato harvest each year.
Yeah. Okay. Is that a clue or is that Pochettino?
No. My own father described me as a clumsy child whose main interest was playing football. And I began my career with the Go Ahead Eagles. Before joining them at senior level.
Stop. Glenn Helder.
No. Nobody here is their name.
Stop. Daniel Amakachi.
Not Daniel Amakachi, no.
Nice to hear his name, though.
No. Yeah.
More of a striker.
Oh, Go Ahead Eagles are Swiss, aren't they?
They're Dutch.
Okay, okay.
I retired in 2004 due to knee problems, but I made a brief comeback later in 2008, making 24 appearances and scoring a grand total of no goals.
Stop, Mark Overmars.
Oh!
Great one, Marcus. Told you! I told you I was going to win, didn't I?
Yeah. Good for you.
You weren't wrong.
Well done, Marcus. That was the Masked Winger.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Masked Winger.
Apparently Jack's wife loves our jingles.
Right, they get stuck in your head.
They get stuck in your head. Mm. Like death grips.
Indeed.
Yeah, they do.
It's good to win again.
Yeah. I expect you've forgotten what it was like.
Are you doing a post-match? Let's get out of here.
We're off. What a lovely start to everyone's weekend. There we are then, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway. I'm back tomorrow with more Smugness and Jonathan Wilson for Greatest Games. Oh. Get involved in that. You're going to love that one. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thanks.
Thanks, Pete Donaldson.
Is it South Korea, Italy?
And thank you, Jimmy Campbell.
You're welcome.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.